This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Buffalo Bills Radio Network. Sports update.
Got the update from One Bills Drive. Sabres on the road. They head to Florida now to play the Panthers tomorrow night. The fourth and final meeting between Buffalo and Florida this year in the regular season. The last time they met, the Sabres won 4-3. They got a couple of goals from Jeff Skinner. Buffalo coming off a 4-1 loss to the Devils last night, their second loss in a row. Sam Reinhart with the Sabres' only goal, which made it 2-1 late in the second. The Sabres outshot New Jersey, but lost it by a score of 4-1. Former Sabres goaltender Ryan Miller has the NHL record for most wins by a goaltender born in the United States. Last night, his Anaheim Ducks beat Washington 5-2. Miller, who missed a ton of action earlier this year with a knee injury, made 23 saves, his first start since December 9th, and picked up his 375th career victory, breaking the tie with John Van Beesbrouck for most wins by an NHL goaltender born in the United States. The Bills add tight end to their list of needs as they approach free agency and the draft. They did it in a big way last Friday when they released veteran tight end Charles Clay. Clay, 30 years old, entering the final year of his five-year contract that he signed with the Bills back in 2015. Bills signed him to an offer sheet when he was given a transition player tag by the Miami Dolphins in that year. Had a couple of good seasons for the Bills, the first three, averaging about 50 catches per year, but declined this past season, a career-low 184 yards receiving for Charles Clay last season, and no touchdowns. First time in his eight-year NFL career that he never scored a touchdown. The Lions released safety Glover Quinn over the weekend. He spent six seasons with Detroit, signed a five-year deal to Detroit after playing out his rookie contract in Houston. Glover Quinn let go by the Detroit Lions. And Kevin Durant stole the show last night in Charlotte as he won the second All-Star MVP award. Durant scored a team-high 31 points for Team LeBron, helping to lead his team of All-Stars back from a 20-point deficit. They won it 178-164 in the NBA All-Star game. And that is the update from One Bills Drive. John Murphy and Steve Tasker are coming to you from our One Buffalo studio on this chilly day in Orchard Park. Joined on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline by one of our favorite guests. She is the NFL analytics expert for NFL Network, contributor to NFL Fantasy Live and NFL Game Day Morning, and does a lot of work now with the Alliance of American Football. Happy to have Cynthia Freeland on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline. Cynthia, John Murphy, Steve Tasker here in Buffalo. Thank you very much for coming on with us.
So nice to hear from you both.
Does this mean that we are preempted from having you on the show live with us in Indianapolis next week? Are you going to the Combine?
I will be at the Combine, and I will absolutely always come on with you. You know that.
We awesome. Love that. Thank you.
Listen, I got to ask you, first thing out of the box, we've been seeing you on the NFL Network with the AAF, with Rod Woodson and Terrell Davis. This AAF is really compelling to me. I'm starting to get drawn in by it. Is that kind of the vibe you guys are getting from around the country?
You know, it's been so interesting to see people's responses just in general. The two main things are people love the stories, especially these kind of smaller school kids who didn't get quite the look that they may have had they gone to a Power 5 school, and now they're just kind of exploding. You saw this guy, this receiver named Charles Johnson, who went to Grand Valley State, explode for 192 receiving yards yesterday. So these are just great stories of people who, like, either they're kind of trying to revive their NFL career or they're trying to really get it started.
Cynthia, what? It's too early to say how many of these guys will make it in the NFL, but what do you think the target is? I mean, eight teams, are we looking at 15 players, more or less, potentially winding up on NFL rosters in 2019?
So there's about 415 total players in the AAF, and they kind of, it's a little bit different. 44 people come out. There's 52 man roster, so that's kind of the way that the math works out. And I think that what you're going to see is you're going to see probably, like, you know, two or three really truly be impactful on the field this first season, but the being able to contribute to practice squad and the ability to play the spring ball, maybe you see kind of more and more sort of permeate through the ranks. Like the Luis Perez, who's the quarterback for the Iron, he has a good chance. He was actually with the Rams until their final cut. They loved him there. you know, you see all these players who are, like, able to contribute, kind of at least give themselves a shot in the practice squad.
I know that you're an analytics person, so I'm going to ask you, what's the most interesting thing analytically that's come out of the league? Have you gotten any feedback on the rule differences or things like that?
So I think it's cool to see the impact of the 35-second play clock. So you have to get things in quickly. So you're seeing some of these quarterbacks, like obviously Garrett Gilbert, who was on an NFL roster week 17. He played for the Panthers. He started. He has an advantage in this situation because he's called plays from the line of scrimmage before. But then you're starting to see these guys, like I'll mention Luis Perez again. He actually, his pocket presence, awareness, and ability to make decisions at the line of scrimmage, like that's showing some really good pro potential early on in this league. And the ability to complete passes is absolutely key. We'll start to see that improve. The completion percentage right now is just a little under 60% league-wide. It'll go up to a more NFL level of like 65, you know, 66% as the season goes on. But it's kind of getting used to each other. They only had 28 practices and one real – they did like a sort of round-robin they did all of their preseason sort of over one weekend in San Antonio. So it wasn't like a preseason like we're used to. So they really only had like 30 chances to play together before games started. You'll see these teams gel.
Got a Garrett Gilbert nugget for you here, Cynthia. Born in Buffalo, believe it or not, back in 1991 when his dad played for the Bills.
Well, there you go.
Yeah,
everything comes back to Buffalo.
Yeah,
everything,
yeah, right.
I love it.
Yeah,
here
your
it does,
age yeah. comes back to haunt you because I played with his dad. So I got to ask you, it really is an issue, and I think one of the things about it, it has been competitive. I think one of the things that's interesting about it is they had so little time to prepare for this season, and I think last year, week one of the preseason, or week one of the regular season, seemed like a little bit like an NFL preseason. There's just, you can kind of see the rough edges around the offense where guys are doing their job and not really thinking about the big picture because they haven't been there long enough to understand it. Have you heard feedback from teams or players that that's the case?
Yeah, I mean, look, some of the shifts and the motions, like the way the O-line has to come together, like that takes a little time. Most O-lines don't change very much season to season in NFL teams. And so when you're getting together and it's new and there's, you know, you're different play callers and different styles and all these different things kind of happening at once, I think you'll start to see that O-line play especially improve. That's kind of the whole point is to make a competitive game that's fast-paced. So you see in this one, time of possession really matters because the defenses get really tired. You know, the Memphis Express was up pretty much the entire game, and then Birmingham came back because Memphis couldn't get their defense off the field. And that's similar to what you see in the NFL-style game, but it's just faster because the way that the rules work, it just makes the whole game go really fast.
Cynthia Freeland from NFL Network, our guest. We're talking about the Alliance of American Football after 2 weeks and an interesting game yesterday in San Diego. Pro football returned to San Diego yesterday with Atlanta at the San Diego Fleet. What kind of reception did they get, Cynthia? What did you see and hear from that?
You know, it was kind of amazing because living in Southern California, I can tell you when it rains, people do not leave their house. Like, you'd think it was like, you know, like the snowiest snow day of them all. Like in Buffalo, you need like 14 inches or at least of snow before people even consider like changing their daily pattern.
Right.
But here in Southern California, it's like sprinkling and people are like, you know what, I'm just going to call it an inside day. So the fact that they had a really good turnout. I can't remember what the final number was, but it was something in like, I want to say, don't quote me, but I think it was like something more like around 20,000. So in the rain in Southern, like that's amazing. It's like SoCal people do not, like I'm from Michigan, so I can say this, but Southern California people, you know, they stay inside if it's even a tiny bit of weather.
Yeah, so. I know exactly what you mean. I started my professional football career in Houston, Texas, in the Astrodome, and if it was raining outside, they would not come to the game because they didn't want to walk from their car to the stadium in the rain, let alone sit and watch a football game. I got to ask you this now, a more serious question. What's the biggest issue facing the league right now?
You know, I think it's trying to navigate making these players, like personalizing them, given how fast the game is. Like usually in games you have, you know, there's no kickoff, so that's one area where you have a game stoppage, John. You know a lot about this, right? Like calling all these games, you're all over this, right? You get a break. You can drink some water then.
Yeah.
But that doesn't happen. There's the backstory time. There is no, like, it's hard to get out these cool stories. Like, you know, again, I'm talking a lot about Luis Perez again, but you know, he was going to be a professional bowler, taught himself how to play football using sort of YouTube tutorials, and walked on to Texas A&M Commerce, which, believe it or not, is a school, right? Like, I didn't even know that existed. So, you know, these are great stories, and, like, the ability to show kind of who are the comps to pro players, who really has a chance. I'm telling you, Charles Johnson, that receiver I talked about, he has a real shot in the NFL. His speed, like, the technology in this league is absolutely crazy. Like, you know, that we have good technology at the next-gen stats, but the AAF kind of pumps that up the next level. So I can see real-time, like, how fast – like, how fast someone's running isn't as compelling, but how precisely they run a route, that's really compelling to me. So that's where an area where you start to see sort of these, like, here's the players who have a real chance of making it.
Yeah, one of the things about, there's 40 regular season games that have to be played. You've got through two weekends already, and it's kind of become a laboratory for this technology and implementing it that you've talked about. The AAF has an app that is starting to take off now because you can keep track of these players and every play in real time, how fast they're running, whether it was a run, whether it was a pass. You can watch. It's not like watching the game live. It's more of a graphic static, you know, it's kind of a graphic that you watch take shape as the play evolves.
Right.
It's really interesting, and I think that's one of the real key ingredients to what drives interest, particularly for a young audience.
Because you really want to know who, like, the Josh Allens are, right? You want to know who, like, people who you didn't maybe – like Josh Allen's a good example just because he didn't go to a big school, you know? So you want to know more about these people. You want to know kind of, like, you know Trent Richardson. He's a pretty known entity. But even Jarrell Presley, who is a running back, you know, that actually spent some time with the Chargers until he hurt his Achilles. Like, those are people you want to know a little bit. If you start to care, you want to know a little bit more about it, right? So that's where, like, that's the challenge that they think that they're having. And obviously, like, look, like, it needs to be competitive and stay competitive. We need to see, you know, keep seeing more games that look a lot more like that San Antonio versus Orlando game, and that's what I think we'll start to see.
Cynthia, I keep reading and hearing that part of the appeal of that app is that it will easily translate into gambling when gambling is, you know, essentially legalized all over the country, you know, in terms of betting on sports. Do you see that as part of where the league is headed, perhaps?
You know, I think the interesting part about, like, what the app can do and the different use cases for it are, like, it's an incubator for a lot of different things.
Yeah.
And, I think when it comes to the proliferation of gambling across all sports betting, like, until the NFL figures out where it exactly stands on it, the AAF and all of it, you know, the AAF is really partnered with the NFL. So until the NFL figures out, like, okay, this is our stance and this is what we're going to do. And by the way, the NFL won't do that until they can figure out, like, the monetary consequences. It's got to be in all the states that the NFL operates. We're the biggest and most, you know, the league that makes the most money. So the NFL's going to take its time and create the right strategy for gambling that it wants. And then it will kind of funnel down into these other things. But look, it's fun to play the app right now, even though there's no real payoff. You get some points, and, you know, I could play Rod in the green room for points, and, you know, I love beating Rod at anything. So I can't beat Rod within almost anything except for maybe guessing.
One more question for you about the incubator status of the Alliance of American Football, and that's in terms of playing rules, you know, no extra points, no kickoffs, showing the instant replay process unfolding. These could all be eventually, if not sooner than later, taken and used in the NFL, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's funny because, like, some of them, like, look, like, I don't know if we're going to get rid of kickoff. It's just not, I think it's fun and it's really fast, but, like, you know, like, that's maybe one way, like, people make their money, right? Like, there's a bunch of special teams players, and that would be a bummer if they didn't get to make a team because they've really significantly limited special teams, but it is safer in terms of where most injuries happen, I guess, you know, according to some, and we'll see if that actually plays out here for the AAF. But I think that the ref, the mic'd up ref talking about the replays, that people will be clamoring for that. Like, that is awesome. It feels so fair. And you feel like, you know, there was a questionable call, and they're like, we just don't have enough evidence to overturn it. And even if, no matter if you agreed or disagreed, you're like, well, they didn't have enough evidence. Like, you know, you heard it, so you felt you felt like you were a part of it, and that like authenticity was that's something where people aren't going to let that go. Like they're now that they have it, they're not going to be like, you know what? We'll go back to not having any transparency.
Right.
You know,
yeah.
People love that. I think that's awesome.
Yeah, and that's one of the things. Once you give it to the fans, that you can't really take it away. They'll bum out. I get that. I was going to ask you now next. What about the standings? It looks like Orlando Apollos are 2-0. What other team? I mean, what teams and what head coaches have been able to get their stuff instilled and get their guys playing well? What head coaches have impressed in this league, along with the who's leading in the standings?
Look, Spurrier has done an awesome job. Plus, he's the most fun one to listen to, mic'd up. Singletary by far looks the best in his Southern, and I think they'll start to get there. They'll start to get like they start to look really good. They'll just finish a game. It's interesting to see Christian Hackenberg's development, just kind of remembering him from college and where he was drafted and stuff. But I'm sure you know, obviously he spent the time with the Jets, so he's in division. And then it was interesting. It's interesting to see, to me, like the Fleet, they kind of like got themselves going. But it seems right now that the Hot Shots and the Orlando Apollos are the two teams to beat. You know, we do power rankings, which is kind of funny to me just because like it's hard to like I'm using a lot of actual data that I know about these people but it's hard to create a real model because it's brand new.
Sure.
But you know, those seem like the two teams to beat.
Cynthia Freeland
and the Iron, by the way, the defense is great at the Birmingham Iron.
Oh yeah.
Cynthia Freeland, NFL Network analytics expert, and you take all of that expertise to the combine in Indianapolis next week. Cynthia, this would seem to be your wheelhouse, right? Because the combine's all about measurements and time and all these analytical measurements of how these players are. What are you going to look at this next week at the combine, and what are you going to be keeping an eye on when you go to the combine next week?
So the combine's like one piece in a puzzle, right? So the reason that it's so interesting is because, well, first of all, you kind of get all the coaches in one place, and I can ask them questions and annoy them, and it's better than texting them because I just feel bad. It's fine doing it in person because then I can like be like, I'll buy you a beer later, no big deal. But ultimately, it's like, you know, like the way I've done things is I like looked at everyone from who they became in the NFL, what systems they played in, for whom did they play, and then I do it kind of backwards. So I look at who they became, what they were in the NFL, and then I create a profile backwards. And the combine is kind of just one stop in that. So for me, the combine is like, does what we think we know about these players, so their resume from college, does the eye test that we see in person for the combine kind of match? So do they fall within these prototypical ranges, you know, of if they fall outside of it, why, right? Like, you know, there's kind of ranges for, like, who we think they should be, right? Like, Nick Bosa should be awesome at the short shuttle. He's the edge defender coming out of Ohio State, right? Like, you know, these people should do certain things in certain ways, right? Like, Kyler Murray should be shorter than we expect. Like, and if it's out of range, like, why and what does that mean? So it's really more of just, like, you know, looking at prototypes and kind of vetting what we're seeing and then kind of speaking to coaches and understanding, like, does the medical check out? How do they do in their interviews? These intangible things that, you know, are more kind of what comes out next, right? So, like, you take all this analytical stuff and then you filter it through the lenses of coaches who have been super generous with their time with me, and then you create, like, you know, a model that looks at opportunity.
Cynthia, I got one question for you, and it's you get all these numbers and you compile all this data, and you have a pretty good idea. And I know it's never completely predictive, but it does give you a foresight into what you think might happen. And even in game day management, do you ever get – do numbers people, I will say like you, do numbers people like you get totally frustrated when all the analytics point to something that seems so obvious, and yet when you get in the fray of the moment, or a team or a coach or somebody goes completely the opposite way, like – they didn't go for it on fourth down, or they didn't run this this play, or that kind of. Does it frustrate the numbers people when the human being side of it gets in the way?
You know what's funny is, like, I think the reason that I have been able to, like, get people to listen to me and talk to me about, you know, the number side of it is that, like, all I want to do is I think a coach is better off knowing if they're taking a high or low probability option. Like, I don't know what's going on in the middle of the game. Maybe your right tackle is, like, extra tired, or he had this, you know, he wasn't feeling well earlier, and you don't want to go punt because you don't want to get him crushed because you need him for the next drive. Like, there's so much that I don't know. So for me, the best you can do is to create a system where somebody has the awareness to know I'm doing the higher probability thing or the lower probability thing in the situation. And you can take either path. It doesn't bother me, but it's, you know, it's like, but which one is it that, like, if you don't know if you're doing the higher or lower probability thing, then, like, you don't know if you're, you know what I mean? Like, so to me, it's like just bringing greater awareness. So it doesn't really frustrate me as much as it does, like, make me think, like, you know, like, who's the most self-aware coaches? Because I think the most self-aware coaches are the ones that do the best.
Wow, that's a really good answer. Really good argument for the use of analytics. Cynthia, thank you for being with us. We'll see you next week in
Indy.
You didn't
ask me the good question, John. You got to ask me what I want to happen.
What do you want to happen?
Well, from the AAF, there's a center.
There you
go. There's a center from the Hotshots. His name is, you ready for it?
Yep.
Josh Allen. So I want the Bills to make Josh Allen come on their team, and then I want the Jets to draft Josh Allen from Kentucky because I want center Josh Allen to be protecting quarterback Josh Allen in case defensive edge rusher Josh Allen comes to get him.
That is a play-by-play guy's nightmare. That's a play-by-play nightmare right there.
Or the best moment of play-by-play ever because you only need to remember one name.
You got a good point. That's a good point.
Yeah.
Hey, we'll see you in Indy.
Sounds good. Safe travels.
Thank you. Cynthia Freeland, NFL analytics expert for the NFL Network. A lot about the Alliance of American Football, which she's covering on a weekly basis now. She does, like, the pregame, intermission, halftime show, right?
Yeah, she's one of the studio,
hosts.
And,
yeah.
Yeah, and they do a really nice job. Like I tell you, Murph, it's good. I got to tell you. I'll just say it outright. It's good. They're good games. They break them down well. And while they don't have the production value from behind the scenes, like they need a couple more cameras you'd like to see or some of that stuff. Other than that, it's good football. What can I say?
I'll have to dive in a little bit more
competitive than I thought it might be.
We thank Cynthia for joining us on the Subway Fresh Take Hotline, presented by Subway Restaurants, proud to be locally owned and operated. And she did not rule out a return appearance on the show next week at the Combine. She's a great guest to have. We're going to be at the Combine a week from Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, February 27th, February 28th, March 1st, with our show noon to 3. One Bills Live from the NFL Scouting Combine coming up next week. We're back with more in a moment. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive, and this is Buffalo Bills Radio. Welcome back. One Bills Live from One Bills Drive. John Murphy, Steve Tasker. We're almost toast. It's almost 3 o'clock.
So disrespectful.
I think it's the whole thing just strikes me as funny. In the midst of a pretty disappointing Sabres week, question of the week, are we toast?
Are we toast?
And Reinhardt jumps.
We are making T-shirts.
Are we toast? What? Are we toast? What? I don't know why I find that funny. Kind of warped, I guess, huh? No, this is not life and death. It's a losing streak. Hey, let us know what you think. Are we toast? We're almost toast. We're here until 3. Our topic of the day has been your weekend following sports. What did you do? What did you follow? What were you most interested in over the weekend? It's a Twitter poll. Right now we're about 2.5 hours into the Twitter poll. Which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend? We got more than 750 votes. And right now, 37% of you had something other than what we suggested, 36%. 27% of you said the Alliance of American Football. That's impressive. 25% said the Daytona 500. 12% said the NBA All-Star Weekend. But more than a third of you said something other, which could be what? College basketball, Buffalo Bandits. What else is Sabres, obviously, you might have been interested in. Which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend? Give us a call and we'll discuss. 803-0550 and toll free 1-888-550-2550 or send in a tweet. You got some stuff on the tweet sheet there, Stevie.
From Joe Mazur, Daytona 500 was a classic. Also watched the AAF and liked what I saw. Fast paced, even though the play was a little sloppy, however. That's expected from a brand new league in their first year. Then Steve Tasker for the Hall of Fame. Well, that shoots that tweet right out.
Okay. Does that fit in 140 characters?
It did, actually.
You think he kept his answer short? Just so
he put double exclamation points. So
he had some
it did
room.
Fit. He had some
he
room.
Had some breathing room.
Okay. Then from Tyler Van Voorhees, UFC on ESPN last night. It was a great card. I got a couple of those. UFC must have been really good on ESPN last night.
Not in my wheelhouse.
Yeah, it's not in my
wheelhouse. NMA tweets in AAF, the San Antonio-Orlando game is incredible.
It was. Yeah. Very good game. I watched it from start to finish, and it was 19-19 at the half, and ended up San Antonio went way up. They went up by 12 in the third quarter, and in the fourth quarter – Orlando came back and won big. It was a pretty amazing game. Very fun to watch.
Doug Briggs tweets in, when we asked which sporting event were you most interested in this past weekend, Doug Briggs says, great question, Murph. Steve and the boys. I'll give Steve credit for this one. He goes on to say, I'm going to say Daytona 500. Just something about those crazy finishes in the past makes you want to tune in. Also, did you see Colton Schmidt in the AAF? I did not.
Yes,
who's
I
he
did.
Play for?
You got me. I think it...
How's he doing?
I'm going to try.
Is he okay?
Yeah, he's
good guy.
He's punting well. He's got a big leg. He always has.
Yep.
Who knows what reason he's not with the Bills anymore? But he get injured and replaced, or
no? I think it was a consistency.
That's
issue.
Exactly what I was going to say. I thought it was just a little inconsistent. That was it. But once in a while, he'd hit the long one, and then the other one would come off the side of his foot. So that's the way it is, and I think that's the difference. Great players can do it on a consistent basis, and that's what they want up at the NFL level.
Got a call here from Keith in Buffalo. Hello, Keith. Go ahead. You're on the air with us.
Hey, how you guys doing?
Good.
I just got a question for both of you. I was just wondering your opinions on the AFC East so far, the teams that hired, like, new coaches and new GMs. And I'm just wondering what you like about them, what you don't like about them. And do you think that any of these moves are really going to help these teams turn the corner?
Keith I don't think anybody's hired a new GM, really, right? Greer, I guess he's been promoted, but they have essentially the same – most all four of the teams in the division have the same general manager. Greer was like a personnel guy. Now he is even more higher up personnel-wise.
Two new head coaches.
Yeah. So just overall, Keith, you're asking overall opinions on the AFC East. Do you want to go first or do you want me to go?
I can do it.
Go.
I mean, New England, they're still going to be the team to beat. No matter what happens in the offseason, no matter how bad they look or how good they look, I mean, they're still going to be the team that everybody's chasing. Miami is, I think, the most interesting team because Brian Flores, nobody knew who he was outside of that building before this season. Then he became defensive coordinator, although it's still Bill Belichick is the de facto defensive coordinator. And he emerged onto the scene from nowhere and now is a head coaching candidate and now has got a job with the Miami Dolphins in the same division that he just left. I think that's a really interesting place to look and see how he's going to take over that. Adam Gase, I don't know how a guy can be a head coach with the Miami Dolphins for three. Now, I like the guy, don't get me wrong. But he was a head coach for the Miami Dolphins for 3 years, had an incumbent quarterback, was known as a quarterback developer, and Ryan Tannehill is the same quarterback now that he was when Adam Gase took over. I don't know why you would think
– might be worse.
Sam Darnold is going to be better for Adam Gase when Adam Gase couldn't get much out of Ryan Tannehill. Now, Tannehill was injured half the games that Gase was there in Miami, and the year that he played his full all those games, they did go to the playoffs. But Ryan Tannehill was a guy that when he was playing under Adam Gase, I didn't see him getting better, 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 better. And it was a little bit of a roller coaster. And so I don't know how Adam Gase is going to do with Sam Darnold. And plus, too, the other thing that the New York Jets have to deal with that nobody else does is the New York media market. We already saw it from his opening press conference. He got crushed for how he looked in the media conference. And that's just one more thing that he's got to deal with that he didn't have to deal with in Miami. So I think that's interesting.
Keith, let me answer your question, the short version. I don't think the Dolphins are interesting at all. I think the Dolphins are going to be awful. No quarterback answer really on the table at all for the Miami Dolphins right now. I think the Bills, I would agree with Steve, the Patriots are the team to beat and are going to remain that way until they go down. The Bills are the most interesting team. They could go either way, right? They should go up. Second year with Josh Allen, 10 draft picks, ton of money to spend in free agency.
And a solid defense.
They should go up. Yeah,
and a solid defense in place. Yeah.
I think the Bills are much more interesting than Dolphins or the Jets. I think those two are on the way down.
Yeah, I think the Buffalo – and we said this right after the season. The Bills were 6-10, not a good season. Certainly some interesting things happened. Josh Allen's development is people watched. But I think – you'd be difficult, hard-pressed to find any team that won six games or less or even seven games or less in the NFL that's more optimistic about their future than Buffalo.
Happiest 6-10 team in the league.
That's exactly right. And it's funny as it sounds, we're making a joke. It really is true. They really do feel like they are on point and on schedule and headed in the right direction.
They are not toast.
They are not toast.
NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, New York's Artisan Cheese. Here we go. The league, the NFL, should extend the time of play if tied after regulation. This is a response to all the hue and cry about how the Chiefs never saw the ball in overtime in their playoff game against the Patriots. Here's the solution. The Boston Herald puts this out there. A simple, and they call brilliant, overtime. Simple solution, the Herald says, once the clock reaches zero in regulation, just keep playing football under the rules of football until the score no longer is tied. Don't invent any hokey rules or leave too much in the hands of luck with a coin flip. If time expires and the score is tied, continue playing with the ball at the same spot on the field, with the same down and distance, and the same team in possession. If nobody scored after 10 minutes of game clock, declare the game a tie. Look, I'll tell you why it's not going to work. You know, Steve said it earlier today on the show, unintended consequences. If a game is tied, and you don't have the pressure of we can win it now or take our chances in overtime, you will play for the tie. You got the ball, you will say, oh, we're gonna keep the ball here because we know the clock's going to stop. They'll reset the clock, and we'll still have the ball. If you don't have the specter of a coin flip or the other team getting possession, or as the rule now stands, the opportunity to possess, it will change the way that games end, close and tied games end. No, it's not
fourth
it's,
game. Fourth,
it's not brilliant, and right. It's simple, but not brilliant. I don't like that idea at all. False!
I agree. I say false as well because it takes away one element of a degree of difficulty for the coaching staff. Clock management at the end of the game is critical. Even when the game is tied, I think you should put them under the pressure. And you've seen it too, where they go into a shell, they've got it, and they just kneel down to go to overtime. Maybe that would go away. They got to keep trying to keep first downs, but I don't know. Off the cuff, I say there probably has to be some unintended consequences for that, as Murph just alluded to. I don't know exactly what they would be, but I think it would take away from the drama at the end of the game. And I don't have a listen. I don't care if I really don't. I mean, it's crazy to say this, but I really don't. Just flip a coin to see who wins the game. What do I care? You know,
oh, come on.
Who cares? Let's just move on, because
flip a coin to win the game.
Anything you do that involves, you know, whether they get it or you get it or whatever, a missed call. Listen, it's a coin flip anyway. So there you go. It doesn't matter. Don't change it from what they are now. I like them where they're at now.
I like where it is now. I think it's well thought out and well administered.
And we've evolved to this point. There's no reason, because you didn't get to see more of Patrick Mahomes, that we need to change the rules.
Part two, NFL True or False. The 49ers should be featured on Hard Knocks this year. Simply put, false. We talked about it earlier. I think they are not the team that most people want to see on Hard Knocks. I think the Oakland Raiders are. False.
Who?
49ers should be featured?
No. Come on. No, it's the Raiders or the Giants. You don't want the 49ers on there. And of course, I would want the 49ers before I want Detroit or Washington. I don't know. Washington might be fun. No, they are not the team. Jimmy Garoppolo is, he's a very pretty man, but I don't want to see him on Hard Knocks. You know, I'm not interested let's get something interesting. John Gruden and the Raiders are the only option here.
Wow.
They're the only option.
A very pretty man. That sounds like a topic for a future.
I was a little tongue-in-cheek there.
Oh, okay. Backpedaling.
Yeah.
Finally, NFL True or False. Rob Gronkowski is a first ballot Hall of Famer. This one is interesting. Tempted to say no, but I don't know. He's been awfully productive. You know, I read something in the paper about greatest athletes ever to come out of Buffalo. Rob Gronkowski's name has to be included in that. Somebody mentioned Warren Spahn, the all-time winningest left-handed pitcher in Major League history. He has to be at or near the top of that list. But Gronkowski is a first ballot Hall of Famer. Ooh. It pains me to say false, but I could be talked into it the other way. What do you think?
No, I'll say true.
Ballot, first time he's
qualified. I have not seen his career statistics, but if there's one guy in the Hall of Fame with fewer statistics than him, or two or five that are in the Hall of Fame as a tight end, with him, with all the rings that he has and the crucial catches he's made and the dominant force that he's been, absolutely, I would say he is a first ballot.
How many years has he played? I want to say about
nine.
Is that it? I guess
I think
that's
this
enough.
Is
that would be the argument I would look at. Has he been around long enough? Look, he's a Hall of Famer. Is he going in as soon as he's eligible? I don't know. That's a tough one. All right, that's NFL True or False, brought to you by Yancey's Fancy, America's Artisan Cheese. or New York's, one of the 50 states. Steve and I coming back. We're not toast yet, but we're getting close. It's One Bills Live from One Bills Drive on Buffalo Bills Radio. Well, you know, we're at the end of the show. We kind of take stock of what we have learned from today's show. It's presented by Advanced Alarm, providing Western New York's homes and businesses with the finest in security and home theater, the preferred alarm and home theater provider of the Buffalo Bills. We had Michael Renner, analyst for Pro Football Focus, does a great job. He's written about the draft, written about free agency. And he wrote not long ago that the Bills, through PFF, through their grading system, the Bills are a top 10 defensive backfield in the NFL. We asked him about that.
It goes back to the two safety signings of Micah Hyde and Jordan Poyer. Hyde's arguably a top five to top ten safety at this point after what we've seen from him the last two seasons. They're both just perfect fit for that scheme in Buffalo. And Tre'Davious White has been basically everything and more for that secondary. He started tracking number one receivers this year more and more than he did as a rookie. And that's just so big for a defense when you have a guy who can track number one receivers. Because even if he doesn't completely shut them down, it all of a sudden gives your second cornerback an easier, you know, job to do.
Mike Renner joining us from Pro Football Focus. A little bit ago, we had Cynthia Freeland on from NFL Network. She has done a great job covering the first couple of weeks of the Alliance of American Football. She talked about miking up the officials in the Alliance and what that's meant to viewers on TV.
I think the miked up ref talking about the replays, that people will be clamoring for that. Like, that is awesome. It feels so fair. You feel like, you know, there was a questionable call, and they're like, we just don't have enough evidence to overturn it. And even if, no matter if you agreed or disagreed, you're like, well, they didn't have enough evidence. Like, you know, you heard it, so you felt like you were a part of it. And that, like, authenticity was, that's something where people aren't going to let that go.
Yeah, we'll find out. Off to a good start. Our Twitter poll today, we asked the question, which sporting event were you most interested in this weekend? Most of you were kind of all over the place, which is fine. We offered other as an option, and 37% of you said other. 27% said the Alliance of American Football. 24% said Daytona 500. 12% said NBA All-Star Weekend. Interesting recap of the weekend, Steve, wasn't it?
Yeah, it was. It kind of came to us because the Daytona 500 and the AFL and the All-Star Weekend and kind of competition. Yeah. Well, what interests you most? It was pretty good.
Production assistants George Blast, Jeff Koltnick, Thomas Hollander, Kelly Rude, J.J. Torito, Kevin Cargis, James Robel, our producer Jay Harris. See you tomorrow at noon, One Bills Live on Buffalo Bills Radio.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.